Hello, welcome to the Lemons podcast with me, Chloe Dakin. Talking about endings today, which is appropriate because it kind of is the ending. This is the last one of me talking on my own. I think when you're writing your book, it's good to have a vision of an ending, yeah? And a sense of how you want to leave the reader. So a feeling or an emotion or an image. It feels really important. I have an image for that, the same as I do for having an image for when I'm starting. So, I kind of need to know a little bit where I'm heading towards. And it's really like an essence of how I want that ending to feel. Yeah. I know Patrick Ness does that too, I think. I read that as a piece of advice from him. In a play, people say the beginning is in the end. And the end is in the beginning. And I think it's really beautiful if you can conjure that in a book too. It also gives a really satisfying little flow. Obviously, it's good to think about what feels satisfying for your reader, because people are investing a lot of time in your book. And I remember my mum gets really upset if it's not a satisfying ending, because you put so much into it, haven't you, as a reader? And you want to feel cared for and thought about at the end. And I think for a child reader, I feel it should always be hopeful, even if it isn't all happy. Yeah, it doesn't have to be happy, but definitely me turning my page there, because I've written some notes down. Should be a little bit of good resolution and uplift. There should be a sense of personal resolution, because obviously, it's the character journey that's really important in a book, and that's why we keep reading, because we want to know what happens to the character. We've got to care about them. We feel invested in them. We kind of known them on this journey. It's like our little friend in a book. So leaving them in a good place, that's satisfying, is really important. Here's a few beautiful endings that I love. I've chosen. I thought it'd be good to read the books that have influenced the book I'm writing, Lemons. So also thought, let's read the Skellig ending, because it's always on my list of influences. So let's start with that one. And I think it's a great thing to do while you're dreaming up your vision. Maybe just read a few of your favourite endings of books and have a little feel about how they make you feel. This one's Skellig then, to start with. I led her back to the door. We smiled at each other. See you tomorrow, Mina. See you tomorrow, Michael. I watched her walk away in the late light. From across the street, Whisper came to join her. When Mina stooped down to stroke the cat, I saw for a second the ghostly image of her wings. Back in the kitchen, they were talking again about giving the baby a proper name. Persephone, I said. Oh, that mouthful again, said Dad. We thought a little longer, and in the end, we simply called her Joy. And I love the way that the ending ties together all of the main themes of the book. Like in the podcast before, when I was talking about layers, all of the layers are covered in that beautiful little section, and also it feels very magical and joyful. So this is the end of the summer book. It's the end of the summer at the end of the summer book, and so seasons shifting, and obviously that's quite metaphorical, really important. Grandma. So this is Grandma at the end. She swung her legs over the edge of the bed and waited for a moment. She took the four careful steps to the door and opened the latch. The night was black, but no longer so warm. There was a fine, sharp chill. She went down the stairs very slowly, turned away from the house and let go of the railing. It wasn't as hard as she'd expected. As she crouched in the woodyard, she knew exactly where she was, and where the house and the sea and the woods were. From far off in the channel came the thump of a boat sailing past, but she couldn't see the channel lights. Grandmother sat down on the chopping stump to wait for her balance. It came quickly, but she stayed where she was. The coastal freighter was headed east to Kotka. The sound of its diesel motors gradually died, and the night was as quiet as before. It smelled of autumn. A new boat approached, a smaller boat, probably running on petrol. It might be a herring boat with an automobile engine, but not this late at night. They always went out right after sunset. In any case, it wasn't in the channel, but heading straight out to sea. Its slow thumping past the island and continued out, farther and farther away, but never stopping. "Isn't that funny?" Grandmother said. "It's only my heart. Not a herring boat at all." For a long time, she wondered if she should go back to bed or stay where she was. She thought she would stay for a while. Beautiful. And the end of The Unforgotten Coat. Interesting book, because the story happens in the middle and the beginning and the end are kind of in the future in the book, yeah? So it's kind of in a book that's kind of tells a story in reflection. So this is about Julie wondering if she can look up her friends who disappeared. Of course, Julie O'Connor's not an unusual name either. What if he was Googling me from Mongolia? What would he find? Pages and pages about a girl who runs a kayak school in California, a woman who makes coats to order in Cleveland, an aromatherapist in Newcastle. Even Julie O'Connor and Liverpool gives you a dieting blog, a barrister, two grief counsellors and street dance lessons. Even if you just search Facebook, there are more than 24 of us with only our profile pictures to identify us. And I'm sure none of us look like we did when we were 11. And anyway, why would he be looking for me? He probably still thinks it's my fault he got deported. I scan the Polaroids of them and add them to my Facebook page. I even change my profile picture to that photo of the coat hanging in the cloakroom. 2 days later, he tries to add me as a friend. Maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe he's been checking all the Julie O'Connors in the world every day for years. I don't know, but he's tried to add me. So I accept the ad, say thanks, and ask if he wants the coat back. He puts, yes please, and messages me his address, and he tags me in this photograph. Julie, you are our good guide and friend. Thank you. And there's a picture of them, both older. Beautiful. And satisfying. And yeah, full of hope and positivity. Because they're looking great and happy. So, talking about endings brings it to the end. When I'm writing an ending of a book, I always feel a bit bereft, to be honest. When I finish it, I hope that my characters are going to be okay. Feels like they're staying on the train, and I just got off. And I wonder how they'll get on with the rest of their lives. So, yeah, same with this. I hope you'll be all right, and hope that you enjoyed these little snippets, and there's been bits and bobs that's maybe helpful to you. And the journey of me writing this book. Let's see what happens next. It'd be great if we could all get together when it's like a whole final piece. print it out. Let's see what happens. So it's been good sharing it with you. Thank you so much for listening in. I hope to see you in real life. If you want to get in touch, I'll put out an email especially for this, and you can contact me. It'd be great. So the next and last piece podcast is a vlog that I made with Anthony McGowan, right, who I was very lucky to work with on this project. And it's of us sitting around his house before he makes us pizza down in Hampstead. It's very good pizza. Tony does a really good pizza base, by the way, and an excellent sourdough, so Becky, his wife, says. Not only an amazing project mentor, thank you Tone, but yeah, beautiful dinner and a salad, not just a pizza. So it's all about him and his work and his practice. It's got some good top tips in it. I don't talk very much. I'm like travelled all day and I'm quite like tired and nervous, and Tony's been doing school events all day but is not tired or nervous, and says lots of good stuff. So he's a wonderful writer and person, and yeah, it's been amazing working with him. It's the first time I've done mentoring, actually, on a project. Very grateful. Thank you, Tony. I am very lucky. So yeah, this is also what Tony wrote about the book, in case that's helpful or just quite nice to know. So I read Lemons by Chloe Dakin with wonder and something close to awe. Every page has a beautifully turned metaphor, a perfect, deft piece of natural description, or a truly original thought. Indeed, often all three. I deliberately slowed my reading so I could relish the subtlety and originality of her prose. Truly no one writes like Dakin. I particularly loved her way with the natural world. She makes you see familiar creatures in a new way, and that's a great gift. That's just the prose. Dakin has also created a hugely endearing central character, quirky and strange, but still relatable, vulnerable but resilient, and she's put her in a complex domestic setting, in a world full of possibilities. So anyway, it was not obvious. I think you're a wonderful writer, and almost more important, not like anything else. Anything? No, and not like anything. Not like anyone else. So yeah, phew, thanks, Tony. I was thrilled to bits when I read that. And yeah, writers, man, like, oh, just very lucky to work with Tony, and really, really grateful for the support. Very important to support each other and to tell each other what you love in each other's work. Have a little group, keep reading stuff out. All right, good luck. Looking forward to seeing your books out in the world. It's going to be great. Thanks loads. Bye-bye.